Mine supposed to be on here? Did you put mine on here?
You put it on.
Huh? I know. Okay, I thought you put it with the song. Excuse me.
No.
Okay, I got you.
Well, we haven't done it that way for...
I know.
I don't know how long.
No. Thank you.
We had, for some reason, we had, like you had yours in presentation mode.
What?
And then when I tried to put the songs in presentation mode, it wouldn't go, so I took it out of presentation mode.
Oh.
You're good to go. I
appreciate that.
That's what you want, right?
Thank you. Good to see each and every one of you. I'm glad of you to be with us here this bright, cloudy day. We're in the Acts. We're in the 26th chapter. We'll start there in a moment. In the 25th chapter, you see in verse 22, then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear the man, talking about Paul, myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. So this is when Paul will be addressing or in front of Agrippa, plus also a crowd of dignitary officials, commanders, and everything also like that. And there was some motive that Agrippa, he was curious to hear the famous prisoner. Now, Festus, the reason why he was want to is that he hopes to learn what he should write to Caesar about the case. He didn't really have anything. He was telling Agrippa that I need to have something other to tell Caesar about the case. And I said, am I hoping to find something other? I just can't send Paul up there without some information and about what's the reason why that Paul is coming there and to be in front of him. Then Paul's motive seems to be that Paul regards this group as sinners in need of grace and forgiveness. Now, Paul is going to be given his defense, but it's as we compare his defense in time before, when he did it with Lysias, the commander, and also with Felix, he defended himself against the Jews, particularly about their accusations or something like that. But you'll see here in this defense, he doesn't say anything about that. His defense is going to be a little bit different. And actually, he is preaching to not only to Agrippa and Festus and the rest of them, but he sees them, that looks at them and says, these people need to be, their sins should be forgiven. And he's going to preach to them, more or less, in his defense. And I personally think, you know, that his defense, his sermon here is very well, considering who he's talking to and everything like that. The Master Jesus is always very good in different situations, how he spoke and everything, and Paul is one of them too. He spoke to different people, those that are high, those that are low. He spoke to them under certain circumstances, and I thought he did it psychologically. He did a very well job, and I think Paul does here too with the group that he's speaking to and also in his defense. And we'll go ahead and start with that. Verse 1, chapter 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, Paul's talking about, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews. Especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. Actually, as I said before, we don't hear anything about the charges of the Jews. Paul has already dealt with that, the charges, more than once. And it should be clear to everybody that the Jews had no really case. And you listen to the conversation about from the Roman standpoint, the Romans particularly think, well, it's more of a religious matter. You have a sect here and a sect there, and they disagree about it. And he says, from that standpoint, there's no reason for him to be imprisoned or even being put to death. But the Jews kept on saying, this man is not worthy to live. And so, to the Romans, he has not really done anything. And I think that's one of the reasons that he doesn't really go into the particular cases here. He tells them the real issue of the case, the Jewish hope based on God's promise to the fathers of the nations and the fulfillment of this hope in Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. That is how Paul is going to address Agrippa and this group. With that hope, the promise that God had made to the Jews. And we look at the Old Testament, the Old Scriptures and things, the prophets and Moses made a lot of prophecies about the Messiah. And what Paul is talking about, well, those prophecies about the Messiah has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. He fulfilled those things. He suffered. He died and he arose. And they kept on saying that, remember that they were talking about before, that they were talking about how Jesus was and saying that Jesus was dead, and here Paul says, no, he's alive. Well, it's about 20 to 30 years after Jesus' death here. And so the knowledge about Jesus should be well known throughout the whole area, even the Roman Empire, about Jesus Christ. Because there were very many witnesses that saw him alive, hundreds of them saw him alive after he was crucified. And the gospel has spread, the good news has spread, and churches are all about. So this is not something that is new. The people knows about Jesus, and he has expounded to them more specifically and telling them, this is the reason why. The Jews, they're putting out these false charges against me, but the real reason why is this man, Jesus Christ, which they say is not the Messiah. And he comes in and says, look, to King Agrippa. Now, why would he be really happy to talk to King Agrippa about this matter? About Jesus Christ and about Jews. All right. Who has Paul been really addressing? Romans. And the Romans, he's talking about, they do not understand what the Jews are about and the conflict. And Paul is going to talk about that, about how he was former and thing, about the different sects of Pharisees and sects. And Agrippa is going to understand what he's talking about. Agrippa will understand about the prophecies, and he will understand about Jesus Christ. And that's what he's going to talk to him about. And that's what he talks about in verse 3. He says, especially because you are an expert, talking to King Agrippa, Paul talking to him, he says, in all customs, in customs now, and questions which have to do with the Jews. You are familiar with the Jewish customs, the law and the customs. Therefore, he says, I beg you to hear me patiently. And then he begins, so begin his story. Verse 4, he says, my manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. Paul had been, always been a faithful Jew from his youth right to the present. And then he says in verse 5, then knew me from the first. If they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Okay? Now, Agrippa knows what a Pharisee and a Sadducee is. And that's why he's telling him that of the sect, the Pharisee was the strict. Paul was a Pharisee. The sect that was the most exact and rigorous when it came to interpreting the law and enforcing ceremonial observances. See, Agrippa knows about these things with that. Then he tells them again and says, continue on and says, and now, verse 6, I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our Father. This is what the problem is. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. Well, he goes on verse 7 and describes that. He says, look, to this promise, our 12 tribes. Well, who's the 12 tribes? That's all the Jews. The 12 tribes of Jews. He says, this promise was made to them, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to obtain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Okay, this is their reasoning for it. What they're after me is for this hope that we have in the scriptures. And basically it comes down to the Messiah. They understand the predicament or the predictions of the prophecies about the Messiah. But they're like most Jews, and like Paul at one time, had a different interpretation of what the Messiah was going to be like. Now, you read the scriptures and you look at that, and you think, I know what the Messiah is going to be like. All right, you ever read a book? Look at a book and read it and had your vision in your mind how that main character was. And then you see the movie of it. And the character is nothing like the book. Nothing like it. Well, this is what this is. The Jews had already made their mind up what the Messiah was going to be like, that we were going to have this new kingdom come. It's going to be an earthly kingdom. It's not going to be a heavenly kingdom, but we're going to have an earthly kingdom, and we're not going to be under Roman law anymore. Well, that's not what it was. It wasn't that way. They misinterpreted. And that was the reason why the Jews were accusing him so much. The one promise that was made over and over through the Old Testament that the Messiah was coming, and when he did arrive, all nations of the earth should be blessed. Okay? Paul uses the 12 tribes to designate the Jews of all tribes as hoping to see the fulfillment of that which God promised to the fathers. It is utterly amazing that the Jews who have the hope which the Old Testament scriptures promise should persecute Paul. And that's what he's talking about. Why am I being persecuted? Why are they accusing me? Paul expressed his continued surprise that the members of his audience are still unconvinced as far as the fact of the resurrection is concerned. And he says in verse 8, why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Now, a Pharisee, they believe in what? They believe in the resurrection. Sadducees do not. But the Pharisees believe in resurrection and death. If we're going to be risen in the last in the day is the judgment time, do you not think that God can raise the dead? Hasn't the men, the apostles, Jesus, whatever, haven't we been seen that Lazarus was raised from the dead? Haven't you seen all these other examples? And they are well known, the fact that people were raised from the dead? Why do you think this is so incredible? And you guys are looking at it and you say, why are you so astonished about this? There should be no reason why about this. Any comments or questions you might have so far? All right. He continues on and says, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is going to use him as a perfect example how the Jews are acting. He says, look, I myself thought I must do many, many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And he's going to tell you what those things were. Nobody had been more violent in his opposition to Jesus Christ than Paul himself had been. Paul had a reputation. When the Lord talked to Ananias about Paul coming, he said, well, wait a minute, do you know who this man is, Paul? He's got a reputation. He kills. He puts in prison. Everybody knew how Paul was. And he says in verse 10, this I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Now, yeah, this Paul saying, this was me. And you should probably remember me, how I was. You see me now, but you remember me how I was before. This is how I started out. Well, I persecuted Christians. I did. I put them in prison. And I was glad to be happy that I put them in prison. As a matter of fact, when it came time to say, should this person live or should this person die? I put my black pebble in. I cast my lot against them. I said, death. And not only in Jerusalem, I said, I had the authority of the chief priests. Verse 11, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. I not only did it in Jerusalem, I did it in other places also. He didn't stop at Jerusalem, but he carried his bloodthirsty campaign against the Christians even to foreign cities. Now, what could explain such a radical change as Paul then made? This is how he was. He said, yes, I put him in prison. Yes, I voted for him death. Yes, I not only did it in Jerusalem, I went to other places, and I had the authority of the chief priest to do all these things. Now, what changed him? Why is Paul different? Paul's a Christian now. He was so adamant against Christianity. What changed him? And he tells him, while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. He says now, I did in foreign cities. Here I'm on my way to Damascus, and I had the authority of the chief priests to do these things. Verse 13, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journey with me. Now, we've been through this before. This is about the third time that Paul has described here in this about his conversion. And he says, now, look, this bright light, it shone around me and those my companion about. He says, I was in the midst of the violent persecution that Paul saw the light, both literally and figuratively. He saw the light. He will see the light. He understands it. And he says, verse 14, and when we all have fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me saying in the Hebrew language. All right. Jesus now is going to address. He's going to talk about this vision he's seen. He's going to figure that Jesus is going to appear to him. And he tells them that he's speaking to him. The other ones hear him, but they don't understand. But he's speaking to him in the Hebrew language. He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Okay? The word Paul thought, the word Paul thought was for God was actually against God, that he had been behaving in a self-destructive manner like an ox kicking against a goad used to prod and urge him on and only hurting itself the more. And that's what he's talking about. For you are kicking against the goad, against the prod. You're hurting yourself, but you're persecuting me. Paul, you understand? You think you're doing God's will, but you're not. And he's going to see where he's going to see the light, but he understands it. And he tells him and says, and so I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The heavenly figure identified himself as Jesus. Now, he was alive. He's not dead. Everybody says Jesus is dead. He says, no, he's not dead. He appeared to me, and he says, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which yet which I will yet reveal to you. Jesus appeared to Paul not to save him, for he would be saved in the same way as others were saved. That's not the reason. He didn't come here and say, your sins are forgiven you. I appeared to you to forgive you all your sins. He didn't say anything about that. But to appoint him a minister and a witness, both of the things you have seen and the things to be revealed, to qualify him to be an apostle. You will be a witness. That's what he's talking about. You're going to be a minister and a witness and things that you have already seen and the things that you are going to see. Things are going to be revealed to you, Paul. You're going to understand what you are to do. You are going to be to go out and preach and teach and minister, but you are also going to be my witness. And he says in verse 17, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. You will be in my care. They were wanting to persecute you and kill you, but like he is now. And he's going to tell it. God's taking care of him. And he says, I will deliver you, not only from the Jewish, but from the Gentiles also. And he says, you are to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is what you're going to be ministering to. You shall open their eye. Your eyes are being opened now. You are now beginning to see the light where you have been in the darkness. You thought you were in the light. You thought you were doing God's will. But no, you were in darkness. You're not in darkness anymore. You are in the light. And he says, that's what your purpose is too. You're to bring them out of the darkness like you've been brought out of the darkness and put them into the light to understand. You are to bring them from the power of Satan to God. You weren't serving God. If you weren't serving God, you were serving Satan. You only got two. You got to serve God or are you going to serve the devil? One or the other. And he says, you are to help them, to minister to them, to see that they are servants of the devil, or servants of Satan, and they need to be servants of God. Why? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. You to bring them to the light, to understand that they are living in sin, and but you can have your sin free. If you look at Paul and what he taught, what he has said he had done, how he persecuted the Christians, he voted for them to die, but his sins were forgiven. Are yours worse than his? Can your sins be forgiven? And that's what Paul is here to preach to them about and says, look, if my sins can be forgiven, do you not think your sins can be forgiven? And not only that, let me tell you, the inherit, the reward is going to be worth it. There is a big difference between heaven and hell. You're in darkness now. Let me tell you, when you're in hell, there is utter darkness. I mean, there is no light. Because God's not there. And that's what you're in now. But you have the opportunity to come out. This is what you're going to be doing, Paul. This is what Jesus is telling him now. This is your new commission for you to do. To take these men, the world out here, the Jews and the Gentiles, and to bring them from darkness to light. Any questions or comments anybody have? People, you think I'm doing that great of a job? Come on. All right. Verse 19. Paul says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. There was an act of will involved in passing from his previous state of rebellion to that of obedience. Paul had a choice. He could have, no, I'm not going to do that. But he tells them, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I obeyed it. I understood it. And I understood where I was wrong. And I understand now that the reason why I am obeying this. No matter what has happened to me, I obeyed it. And I had that choice. I could have said no. Just like you have a choice. But, like he said, forgiveness of sins and that inheritance, that reward, I did not disobey. Verse 20, but declare first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the regions of Judea, and then to the Gentile, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting him. Paul emphasized the fact that his labors had been in obedience to the divine commission from the risen Lord, that he began his own people, and then he went to the Gentiles. And that's what he declared. He said, I went to Damascus, I went to Jerusalem, I went to the Jews. And then I went to the Gentiles. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. You understand this? Now Agrippa has learned why the Jews mocked Paul and nearly executed him on the spot in the temple. Paul's belief that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior of all men, Gentiles as well as Jews. And when we remember when we touched it before, when he said that word Gentile, how they react, they were listening to him. And then he said the word Gentile. And that's when they pulled him down and was going to mob him. And that's when they let us come in, the commander, and pull him out of the mob because they were going to kill him. And says, this is the reason why. They were trying to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, he gives credit to God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Paul traces safety entirely to the help of God. God insists that his preaching represented nothing except that which Moses and the prophets had foretold. That's what he says. Now, he says, I stand here today, I am witnessing. Okay, that's what he told me that I would minister and witness. That's what I am doing here. I am witnessing both those that are small and those that are great. That there's no other thing than those which the prophet and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Paul's point is that the Old Testament writings, every word had foretold the suffering and resurrection of Messiah, and that good news of salvation through him would be preached to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. This is where they had a problem. It's for all people now. It's just not for the Jews only. It's for the whole world. It's for everybody. And you and I are to be thankful that it is for the Gentiles. I'm not a Jew. I am thankful that he had changed, that the prophets had foretold that the Messiah would come, and this is what he would be doing. And let me tell you, Paul's telling us, I am witnessing to you that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Christ, that he has fulfilled the prophecies of Moses and the prophets about the Messiah. There's not one coming. He's here. He's already come. There's not somebody else coming. If you reject him, there is no hope for you. And that's what he said. The Messiah, Jesus is the Messiah that was prophesied. And he fulfilled it. He suffered. And yet he rose from the dead again. And so if you reject this, you have no hope. None whatsoever. Because there's not another one coming. Nobody else that's going to be able to save you. I don't care how many people after him that tells you that I am the prophet, you the believing in me, are coming and said, no, I am the Messiah. No. Jesus Christ is the only one that fulfills all the prophecies that Moses and the prophets talked about. And that's why he's telling me. That's the reason I'm a changed man. I saw the light and I understood it and I obeyed it. Sure.
Mm-hmm. The Lord appeared to me, this is who I was,
Yeah.
That's just thinking crazy. But that's his only explanation. And that's not, that's not out of left field or anything. I guess, if you were a polytheist, and just listening to this, you would think that this is another crazy religion, that somebody's come up with it. But Paul answers that and says, You appeal to Agrippa as an expert. Let's see what Agrippa has to say about what I just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think personally this is one of Paul's good lessons that he's presenting from, and as he goes back and talks about himself, how he was, that yes, I thought a very faithful Jew. I did what I thought was right. Jesus Christ, no, he was not the Messiah. I was with a lot of the other Jews. We did not believe it. And I didn't believe it then. But let me tell you, when this appeared, and I had that choice to change, I obeyed it. And you will have that choice too. And you need to obey it. We'll begin at around verse 24 Wednesday night. Thank you.